In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. I'd like to speak with you about a verse. St. Paul said it to his disciple Timothy. We read this verse in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. The verse that I'd like to speak with you is, let no one despise your youth. Let no one despise your youth. And I want to hear from you, how can we do this? How? It's a commandment. Don't let anyone despise your youth. So, how can we do this? If somebody despised our youth, should we yell at him? Should we scream at him? Tell him the Bible says, let no one despise your youth? So, or if somebody despised us, so should we be stubborn and insist on what we said? How can we keep this commandment in our life? I want you to give me some ideas before I tell you how can we, from the Bible, we learn how can we keep this commandment in our life. Let no one despise your youth. How? Can you give me ideas? No ideas? Despise? Put down. Whatever. Anything. Idyllic example. One of the examples that I will discuss today, when David went to King Saul, asking him to go and to fight Goliath. So, King Saul despised David and told him, no, you are youth, you are young, you cannot do this, you are too young for this. So the first thing he did, he despised his youth. And sometimes we despise ourselves, we despise our youth, putting down our abilities. We don't know exactly what can we do. And the example that I will mention today is Jeremiah. When God sent him to be a prophet for the nations, he said to him, no, I cannot do this because I am a youth. And the Lord said to him, don't say I am youth. Don't say I am young. So, before I go on, because now I give you some keys. So, I want you to tell me how we keep this commandment. Let no one despise your youth. How can we keep this commandment in our life? Yes. Don't be reluctant. That's good. Yeah, that's right. So if I'm not reluctant, that's it? Or there are some other ideas? You have to be willing, determined to do it. Good. Good. Yeah. That's one point. Okay. I'll try to make it easy on you. This is a good answer, very good answer, and this will be one of the points that I will mention. Actually, the determination point, the point that you mentioned. I'd like to give you 8 examples from the whole scripture. I'm going to take 6 examples from the Old Testament and 2 examples from the New Testament. And then, with these 6 or 8 examples, we'll find there was tendency to despise their youth. Either it came from themselves, they despised themselves, or either it came from outside, somebody despised them. But let us see what did they do? And what are the qualities that they acquire? And by understanding these 8 characters and understanding their virtues and their qualities that they acquire, I think we'll have a very good idea how can we keep this commandment, let no one despise your youth. So just from the beginning, I want you to follow with me every example, what is the main virtue in his life? What is the main characteristics in his life that helped him not to despise his youth or her youth? Okay? We will take these examples in a chronological order from the Old Testament to the New Testament. The first example was a youth in age of 17 years old. How many of you are 17? Anybody here 17? Nobody 17? Okay. So let us see what did he do when he was 17. In Genesis chapter 37, verse 2, it says, this is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers, and the lad was with the sons of Bilha and sons of Zilpha, his father's wives, and Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father, etc. So the story of Joseph actually started at age of what? Age of 17. So if you can imagine, you know, how long it takes from, you know, this the beginning of this story until he became the second person in Egypt. I think this may be 1 year and a half. So he was 18 or 19, maximum 20, when he became the second person in Egypt. And 20, he's still young. But God entrusted him to this great responsibility to save many nations from the famine, to bring life to all these nations because of his wisdom. That's Joseph. So he was 20, but God did not despise his youth. God did not despise his youth. And God used him to be the second man in Egypt and to deliver the whole land from the famine. So I want you to think with me, what is the main characteristic, what is the main virtue in the life of Joseph that made God didn't despise his youth and use him to save the whole land from the famine? What do you think? What is the main virtue in his life? When we mention Joseph, what we remember immediately? His keeping commands and his loyalty to God. That's right. Which commandment especially? Actually, Joseph was before the commandment, because the commandment was given to Moses. So, what is the main virtue in his life? Purity. Exactly. Purity. All of you know the story of Joseph with his master's wife. And if anybody has excuse to commit any sexual immorality, I think Joseph had many, many good excuses. He was a stranger in the land of Egypt. He was in a weaker position because his master's wife asking him to commit sin with her. He has a reason to be disappointed at God because God didn't defend him. God delivered him to the Egyptians. And God didn't defend him. also there was not at that time, you know, just before Moses, so there wasn't a commandment that says don't commit adultery. If he didn't commit adultery, the cost of this, the cost of his purity, is prison and bad reputation. So I want you just for 1 second, 2 seconds, think if you are in his situation, what would you do? Sometimes we compromise our purity, compromise our righteousness for minor excuses, very, very, very minor excuses. But Joseph determined in his heart not to defile his purity, no matter what. Even if the cost or the price to be in prison, he would accept this. He preferred to be prisoner rather than defiling his purity. And because of this, actually Joseph proved to God, yes, he is a youth in his age, he's about, you know, 17 or 18 years old, but his spiritual age is more than this. And that's why God entrusted him. God entrusted him with this big responsibility to save the whole land from the famine. But those who want just to satisfy their desires and want to experience the pleasures of the world, and it doesn't matter with them if they defile their body or their purity or not, do you think God will trust them? God will entrust them with any big responsibility? Actually, by immersing themselves in sexual immorality, they are despising their youth. Because as St. Paul says, glorify God in your bodies and in your spirits. So our youth is not to defile it, but to glorify it. Our bodies is not to defile it, but to purify it and glorify it. Glorify God in your bodies and in your spirits. Any person who doesn't keep the purity of his heart, of his spirit, of his soul, and of his body is not worthy to be entrusted by God for any responsibility, because he is despising his youth. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 verse 1, the Lord says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. So youth is about being committed to the Lord. Youth is about being, you know, remember our Creator. Be devout, not to be involved in sexual immorality. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. So the first example is the example of Joseph, and how Joseph didn't despise his youth by glorifying God in his body, by keeping his purity, by accepting to be prisoner rather than defiling his body. So the first example is the example of Joseph, and how Joseph did not despise his youth by keeping his purity. The second example is the example of David.
We read his story in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 33.
Or let us read from verse 32. Then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fall because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Of course, all of you know the story of Goliath. All of you know the story? David and Goliath? Okay. So David went to King Saul, 1 Samuel chapter 17. So David went to King Saul, asked him to go and fight this Philistine. He said to him, let no man's heart fall because of him. your servant will go and fight this Philistine. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are what? You are a youth. You are a youth. And he, a man of war from his youth. So actually King Saul here despised his youth. He told him, no, you cannot go because you are youth, you are young. You know, sometimes when you come to whatever, your Sunday school teacher or coordinator or your school or to Abuna or to me or whatever, and you say, I want to do this. And sometimes our response will be, no, you cannot do it, you are young. We're going to give it to somebody else. What's your reaction? Sometimes our reaction, get disappointed, we leave the church, they don't care about the youth, we'll go to another church, whatever, our reaction. And St. Paul says, let no one despise your youth. But the key, how? How let no one despise our youth? Let us learn from David, what did he do? So, what was his response? David said to Saul, he didn't get mad, he didn't get upset, he didn't start, you know, yelling or screaming, he didn't do any of this stuff. He kept his humbleness, and he told him, see your servant. So he wasn't proud, he was humble. Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came, took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both a lion and bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. So, from this story, how David didn't allow Saul to despise his youth? What is, or let me ask the question in another word, what is the main virtue here in David's life that made King Saul agree and send David to fight this Philistine? If you listen carefully, the answer in these verses that I read to you. What's this answer? Yes. Yeah, he was, you know, has, you know, big muscles, and he killed the bear and the lion. He was not scared. Exactly. See the words? See the words? Who delivered the lion and the bear to David? Who delivered? The Lord. Verse 37. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hands of this Philistine. So, these words reflect what? Reflect his trust in God, his confidence in God. He trusted God, and that's why he didn't let Saul to despise his youth. By having this strong confidence in the Lord and strong trust in the Lord. Sometimes we say we trust God, but in reality we don't. And we get scared from anything. But Saul, David, really, he trusted the Lord. He trusted the Lord. He didn't fear the lion, he didn't fear the bear, he didn't fear Goliath. And do you remember what did he say when he met Goliath? What did he say? Allu, you are coming to me by A. Goliath? Exactly. He was comparing between Goliath and David and himself. He told him, you are coming with your sword, with your weapons, but I came to you with the power of God, and God will deliver you into my hands. He didn't have anything in his hands to fight Goliath, but he had the Lord with him. He had the Lord with him. Believe me, when we trust God, God will entrust us with big responsibility. But when we are very shakable and we don't have this faith, this trust in God, then God will not trust us with any responsibility. So the first example is the example of Joseph, and his virtue is purity. Second example is David, and his virtue is trusting God. The third example is about another youth who became king in young age. And of course, he started to be scared of this responsibility. Imagine if they called you, now you are 20 or 18 or 19, and they told you, you are the president of the United States. Can you do this responsibility? And if this responsibility is too big for you, what should you do? And let me tell you something. Now in your age, you are making very vital and important decisions in your life. At least every one of you is making two big decisions in your life. And depending on these two decisions, the quality of the rest of your life, will be determined. The first decision is the decision of your career, and the second decision is the decision of your marriage. And most of us do these two decisions in your age. More or less, we're doing these two decisions in our age. When you finish high school, you start to think, what's my career? What do I want to be? Okay? And the second decision, when you finish college, you start to think about marriage. So, these two major decisions, and believe me, if you make right decisions, the rest of your life will be happy. If you make wrong decisions, you will be miserable the rest of your life. So these are at least two major decisions. The king that I'll mention right now, because he became king and he was young, and as a king, every day he will make decisions. So he was in this dilemma and he didn't know what he should do. Do you know what did he do? Do you know I'm speaking about whom? King Solomon. Exactly, King Solomon. What did he do? Ask the Lord for wisdom. Let's read 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 7. He said to the Lord, "Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David. But I am a little child. I am a youth. He despised himself here. But he despised himself in a good way, because he acknowledged his ability, and then he started to cry to the Lord to help him. I do not know how to go out or come in. I do not know how to make decisions. I am a little child. A new servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? He asked for understanding heart to judge, to discern between good and evil. And that's what we need in our age. How to discern between good and evil, right and wrong. Because many of us are too confused. They don't know what's right and what's wrong. It's not clear. We are lacking this discerning spirit. We don't know what's right and what's wrong. And that's why King Solomon, he acknowledged his youth, and he knew his abilities. That's why he said to the Lord, I am a little child. Give me an understanding heart. So, the third virtue here, we need to acquire in order not to let anybody despising our youth, is the virtue of wisdom. But maybe some of you think wisdom is a gift from God. So, if I am lacking wisdom, what should I do? Do you know the answer? If we lack wisdom, what should we do? Exactly. St. James says, if any one of you lacks wisdom, what should he do? He should ask God. Let's read it together. In the letter of James, chapter 1, verse 5. If any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Let him ask of God. Let him ask. I want you, from now, if you are not, you know, requesting this from the Lord, if this is not a prayer request, I want you to keep it now in your prayers. This prayer that Solomon prayed, give me an understanding heart. All of us need this understanding heart. All of us need to have an understanding heart. But especially the youth, because of these two major decisions, you need this understanding heart. So, I want you, in every time you pray, ask the Lord to give you the wisdom. That is the only way to get wisdom. That is the answer. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. That's the only way how we grow in wisdom and how you acquire wisdom. And if you are wise, no one will despise your youth. But of course, they will not ask a foolish person to be king. Okay? So, how we don't let others despise our youth? By being wise. By having understanding heart. By being able to discern between good and evil. By being able to make right decisions and making right judgment. That is the only way to be not to be wise and not to let others despise your youth. First example, Joseph, his virtue, purity. Second example, David, his virtue, trust in God. Third example, Solomon and his virtue is wisdom. Fourth example. Another king that was very young, actually he became king at age of 8 years old, and he died at age of 39. But in this 31st years he did many wonderful things. Do you know what's his name? Arfumin? Who became king at age of 8? يلا بيجاوبوا نديله جايزة كويسة. أنا مش عارفين. Who became king at age of 8 years old? ده بيبان إن أنتوا you read the Bible regularly. محدش هياخد الجايزة؟ خلاص انا ناخد كيف يعني. اوكي. Second Chronicles chapter 34 verse 1 and 2. King Josiah. Josiah. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. I like this verse. He did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. How many of us can say this verse about themselves? That we are following the commandment of God and we didn't turn aside to the right or to the left. How many of us can say this verse about themselves? For in the 8th year of his reign, 8th year of his reign means how old was he? 16. لما يكون, when you know parents have a youth 16, they come and ask for prayer. Right? Like you see what Josiah did at age of 16. For in the 8th year of his reign, while was still young, while he was still young, youth, in your age, 16, like you, he began to seek the God of his father David. He began to seek the God of his father David. What does this mean? You know, at the age of 8, he didn't have the full authority as king because of his young age. But at the age of 16, now he took the full responsibility of the kingdom. He became the king. And he has authority to make all the decisions. And one of the major decisions that he should make, which God he should follow. Would he follow God of his father David, or he follows, you know, the gods, the idols of the Gentiles? But he made a very, very strong and right decision. What was his decision? At age of 16, he decided to seek God, the Lord God of his father David. I want you to think about yourselves at age of 16. Many of us decide to leave God at age of 16. You know, while we are young and our parents bring us with them to the church, we go to the church. But once we grow up, we have our own cars, we drive. It's not the responsibility of our parents anymore. The first thing that we drop is God and the church. Many of us do this. But Josiah, when he has the freedom to make the decision, either to follow God or not to follow him? He made the decision to follow God. It was his decision. Nobody forced him to. At the eighth year of his reign, while he still was young, he started to seek God of his father David. How many of us at age 16 want to experience the world? Want to experience the pleasures of the world? Want just the last thing we think about it is God and the church. Just want to experience everything. Want to experience smoking, drinking, dancing, dating, partying, all this stuff. And we go crazy about this stuff. But Josiah, at age of 16, he sought God. This reminds me of the verse, seek first the kingdom of God and all its righteousness. What you are seeking first, is it the kingdom of God and all its righteousness? And then at age of 20, you're like, eh? And in the 12th year, the manan huwa, he was 20. In the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, the wooden images, the carved images, and the molded images. So first, he decided to follow God. What's the next decision we need to do? Purifying our hearts from all the idols. Can you mention some idols we have in our hearts? Money, yeah, love of money is a big idol. Eat any? TV, another idol. Yeah, sometimes we prefer to watch TV rather than open our agbaya and pray. Idols, 10? Internet, and waste our time chatting with chat rooms, instead of reading the Bible. Food. Pleasure of food. I don't answer, just answer between you and yourself. How many of us fasted from the very day of this fast? And give me a reason why you didn't fast if you didn't. And how many times did you break the fast? And for what reason? And how many of us until now are not fasting? This idol in your heart. Give me a single reason why you don't fast. There is no reason. There is no reason at all. But it's idle. And many people break the fast several times just for any temptation. And I wonder, as I told you, Joseph preferred to be prisoner rather than breaking the command of God, rather than defiling his purity. And sometimes because of piece of chocolate or whatever, we break our fast. And then we wonder why others despising our youth. So, age of 16, he decided to seek God. Age of 20, he purified Jerusalem. Purified Jerusalem means purifying my heart. And what did he do else? Verse 8. In the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the temple, he sent so and so to repair the house of the Lord his God. And after he repaired the house, In chapter 35, verse 18 and 19, there had been no Passover kept in Israel like that since the days of Samuel the prophet. And none of the kings of Israel had kept such a Passover as Josiah kept, with the priests and the Levites, and all Judah and Israel who were present, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. In the 18th year of his reign, or the reign of Josiah, this Passover was kept. So when he was 26 years old, he restored the house of God and kept the Passover. How can we apply this to our life? Now, the first decision is to seek God. Second decision is to purify our hearts. Third decision is start to have a temple of God in your heart, and from this temple you should offer sacrifices. Right? Like the Passover. Our father David says in the Psalm, when I lift my hand, it will be like, you know, a sacrifice for you. So these are the sacrifices of praises. That's the sacrifices we should offer. So at age of 16, he decided to follow God. Age of 20, he purified Jerusalem. Age of 26, he restored the house of God and kept the Passover. If I want to translate this in our language, we need to make this decision is to seek God first and all the kingdom of God and all its righteousness. First, God will be priority number one in our life. And we need to purify our hearts from all these idols that we mentioned some of. And number three, we need to start offering sacrifices, worshiping God. This is a sacrifice of praise. Or as St. Paul said in Romans, offer your body a sacrifice, a rational sacrifice. When we fast, when we go to church, when we help the poor, when we visit the sick, this offering our body as a rational sacrifice. So, what is the virtue here in the life of Josiah? What is the virtue here? It's in these three words that he decided to do in age of 16. What did he decide to do? Yeah. Seek God. Seeking God. Whom we are seeking? Because we seek many things. I want you just to think, what do you seek in your life? Some people, all what they seek, just earthly things. God is not on their minds at all. And when, you know, there is a competition between God and something else, God will lose. We make him lose by preferring this other thing over him. Seeking God. So once we seek God and we determine that God is our God, our Lord, we follow him, we purify our hearts from all these idols, and we start to offer sacrifices from our hearts, then we will not let anybody despising our youth. If we start to seek God. Okay, Joseph, first example. Joseph, purity. Second example. David, trusting God. Third example. Solomon, wisdom. First example. Josiah, seeking God. Number five. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. I am a youth. I cannot speak. This is above my responsibility, above my ability. I cannot do it. But the Lord said to me, don't say I am youth. Don't say it in a negative way, because being a youth, that's a very positive thing, not a negative thing. Being a youth means you are capable of doing everything in Christ who strengthens you. But don't say I am a youth in this negative sense, like Jeremiah. I cannot do it. So the Lord said to him, don't say it. Don't say I am a youth. For you shall go to all to whom I send you. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces. for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms, to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Why Jeremiah despised his youth? Why Jeremiah despised his youth? He was in. No, that's not humbleness. Let me explain the difference between humbleness. But answer first my question. Faithless. Faithless. Yeah, that's close. Scared. He was afraid. That's why the Lord said to him in verse 8, Do not be afraid of their faces. Jeremiah was afraid. He was lacking what? Courage. He was not courageous enough to face the nation, to go and to be witness for the Lord. He was scared. He was afraid. Children of God shouldn't be fearful. They should be courageous. You know, in the Zoxology, then only hail to you, courageous martyr. Can you believe a 14 years old like Abanub stood before kings and they put him on the boat upside down and he didn't deny Christ? They tortured him with every way of torture and he didn't deny Christ. He was courageous. And sometimes if anybody, put pressure on us, we may deny Christ. But, and this was the sin of Jeremiah at the beginning. He was fearful. He wasn't courageous enough. Let me differentiate between humbleness and lacking self-esteem. There is, or lacking confidence. Or lacking courage. There is a big difference. The humble person is the person who knows his weakness. I know that I am nothing. I know that I cannot achieve anything. Because the Lord say, without me you cannot do anything. But in Jesus Christ who strengthens me, I can do all things. Nothing is impossible for me. But those who are lacking courage or self-confidence or are fearful, just they take the first statement of humbleness. They know they are nothing, they know they are weak, and that's it. But no, the humble person is a person who knows his weakness, but knows also in Christ Jesus, he is able to achieve everything. And that's why I usually say, this word should disappear in our vocabulary if we faithful youth. The word, I cannot. This word should disappear from our vocabulary and our dictionary. Because the Bible teaches us to say, I can do all things in Jesus Christ. I can, not I cannot. Sometimes, in confession, you say, I cannot quit smoking. I cannot leave this girl. I cannot quit drinking. I cannot. They are fearful. They are not courageous enough to make the decision to say, I can in Jesus Christ who strengthens me. And see, Jeremiah, after the Lord touched his mouth and strengthened him and took the fear out of his heart, Jeremiah was courageous. In chapter 7, we read about Jeremiah, then the word that first verse, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of God of the Lord, all you of Judah who enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. So he stood at the gate, a young youth, but stood at the gate and started to proclaim the word of God with all courage. He wasn't fearful anymore. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, and mend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Do not trust in these lying words, saying the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. For if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you don't oppress the stranger, the fatherless, the widow, don't shed innocent blood in this place, or walk after other gods to your hurt, then I will cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever, etc. So Jeremiah here, he wasn't fearful. He became courageous and started to witness to the Lord. How many of us, you know, are courageous witnesses to the Lord? How many of us? Why you are despising our youth? Because we are lacking courage. We are not courageous enough. We are not brave enough. We are fearful. We are fearful. We don't have the courage to witness. Do you want some examples? I want some examples. If your peers, you know, pressured you to go for them for a movie that you don't want to go because this movie is improper for you, what would you do? Many of us, we yield to the pressure because we fear if they make fun of me or whatever. Sometimes we yield to the pressure because we are fearful. We are not courageous enough. But the Lord said to Jeremiah, don't say I am youth. Because you have the ability, as youth, you have the ability to do many things. To be courageous and to be witness for me. So, Jeremiah, his virtue is courage. Yes, first he was fearful, but then this fear turned into courage. Number one, Mahabah, Joseph, with virtue, purity. Number two, David, with virtue, trust in God. Number three, Solomon, his virtue. Number four, Josiah, and his virtue. Number five, Jeremiah and his virtue, courage. Okay. Number six, and this is the last example from the Old Testament. A youth that became counselor to the king, most probably at age of 18 or 17. Do you know him? You know what does it mean, counselor to the king? When the king wants to make any decision, he counsels with them. So he's like, you know, a guide, a director to the king, counselor to the king. So, Masran, can you imagine you became a counselor for the president? If you are laughing, this means you are despising your youth. Don't let no one despise your youth. Okay, do you know who is this person? Yeah, sah, understood. Me? Daniel, yeah, good. Daniel.
Daniel chapter 1.
From verse 3, then the king instructed so and so, the master of his eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles, young men. So they were young, they were youth, young men, in whom there was no blemish, but good looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldean. And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time they might serve before the king. Now from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them the chief of the eunuchs gave names. He gave Daniel the name of Belshazzar, to Hananiah Sidrach, to Mishael Misak, and to Azariah Abdanab. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he wouldn't defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. And you know the rest of the story. Daniel refused to eat the delicacies of the king, nor to drink the wine. And after these 3 years of training, who was the best? Daniel and his three friends. So, what is the key word? What is the key word in these verses? What's the virtue of Daniel? Exactly. I want you to think about this word. But Daniel purposed in his heart. What does this mean? Purposed in his heart. Daniel purposed in his heart he wouldn't defile himself with the delicacies of the king. Purposed in his, what does this mean? He met? Yeah. Do you remember the first word that he said before? Determination. Daniel determined, no matter what, this will never happen. This is the king order. No matter what. Purposed in his heart. Determination. He decided not to defile his heart. How many of us make this commitment? Let me ask you. How many times you promised God that you will not do this thing again? Either before confession or in the New Year resolution or whatever. How many times you promised God? And how many times we broke our promises? But Daniel purposed in his, he determined not to, no matter what. Nothing will change him. Nothing will change him. How many times you say, I purpose in my heart that I will read the Bible daily, no matter what. No matter how tired I am, I will read the Bible daily. How many times How many of us determined in their heart to pray morning and night no matter what? It's a nourishment. But sometimes yeah, we like to and we purpose in our heart to do this, but just if I'm tired, go to sleep without praying. We are lacking this determination in our life. We are not that strong. And that's why we are despising our youth. We are despising our youth. And others despising our youth because we are not determined. We are, you know, we yield easy to any kind of pressure. And this is not the quality of the youth. But Daniel purposed in his heart. احنا خلصنا الاولد تستمنت اكزامبلز نقولهم عشان اقول النيو تستمنت مش هاخد منكم وقت كتير. فيرست اكزامبل جوزيف and his virtue purity. Second example David, his virtue trust in God. Third example Solomon, his virtue. Fourth example Josiah, his virtue seeking God. Fifth example Jeremiah, his virtue. Sixth example and his virtue determination. The two examples in the New Testament, the first example girl, while she is 14 years old, God entrusted her to a very, very big responsibility. Do you know? Saint Mary. God entrusted her to be his mother. And think about it. Think about it. Saint Mary was youth, 14 years old. Compare your, you know, behavior as 14 or 15 to her behavior. And see why God chose Saint Mary. The main virtue in Saint Mary that made her worthy to this blessing, to be Theotokos, Mother of God, was the virtue of what? Humility or humbleness. She was humble. As she said in her magnificent, the Lord looked to the humbleness of his handmaid. Her humbleness. If Saint Mary was arrogant, or Saint Mary was proud, she would cause the Lord many troubles in his life. Believe me. Starting from Joseph doubting her. If she wasn't humble, she would meet a big fight with him. She wouldn't go to Elizabeth to serve her. She wouldn't go to Egypt. No. She would make many, many troubles. And why I'm saying this? Because many youth are very arrogant. They think that they know everything, and they don't accept any word of criticism from their parents, from Abuna, from their Sunday school teachers. They don't want to accept any word of, you know, blame. How about if you are like Saint Mary, Joseph and Saint Mary, full of purity, full of grace, but Joseph doubted her purity. I see big fights between, you know, youth and their parents because misunderstanding, and they think that their parents mistrust them, and big fight. But Saint Mary didn't do this because she was humble. She was humble. And she was obedient to her husband, to Joseph. You know, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph asking him to go to Egypt. If Saint Mary was arrogant or proud, I think she would tell him, no, I don't believe you. I am the mother of God. So if God won't send his angel, he would send it to me, not to you. Why should I follow you to Egypt? I'm not going to go this hard trip. And maybe she refused to follow him. But because of her humbleness, Joseph told her, let us go to Egypt. She went with him to Egypt. On their way back, you know, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph and told him, no, don't go to your city, go to Nasser. And she didn't argue with him because she was humble. Sometimes when we speak with our parents at the same level, this shows that we are not humble. And believe me, if you are humble, people will not despise you. God despises the proud. This verse says, the Bible says so in Peter. God despises the proud. So if we are proud and not humble, God will despise us, and other people will despise us. But if we are humble, God will raise us and elevate us, and other people will honor us. In Proverbs say, don't lean on your own understanding. Don't lean on your own understanding. A humble youth is a youth that listens to instruction of his parents, instruction of his Sunday school teacher, instruction of Abuna. You know, one of the famous famous writers, he was describing, you know, his experience when he was youth and nowadays. So he said, when I was 15, my parents were the foolish parents I ever saw in my life. And when I became 25, I marveled how they learned all this wisdom just in 10 years. You understand what? He thought that they were the foolish parent. But of course, he was the foolish one. Anyway. So, humbleness. And the second example in the New Testament is the example of Timothy himself. We started by reading the verse to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Be an example. This implies what? Be what? Model? Yani a quality human. Quality to be an example. What quality should have to be an example, to be a model? St. Mary. The quality of leadership, not followers. New youth, unfortunately, are followers. They follow the current. Whatever their peers do, they do. Like the dead fish that follow the current. The strong fish, you know, swim against the current. So, the youth should be leaders, should be an example. And see, St. Paul says, example in what? Example in word. An example in word. In your language. What kind of language you are using? Sometimes we use the language of the people, the language of the world. But we as leaders, we should teach others, be example to others in word, in conduct, in our behavior. Sometimes, you know, I marvel how our youth just imitate the world. And even in little things like, you know, the haircut, the, you know, el pantalonat tak, el lips tak. Sometimes you are blind and just imitate others. بدون ما تفكر. بدون فكر. حاجة يعني تكسف. Be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Just don't be a follower. Think, use your mind and use your spirit. Use the spirit of God that's in you to make your decisions. Don't be a blind follower. Be an example. So these are the 8 qualities or the 8 characteristics that every youth should acquire in his life. If you want to keep this commandment, let no one despise your youth. Now, let's look at some 8 examples with their qualities. And then, if you have any first example, Joseph, purity. David, trust in God. Solomon, wisdom. Josiah, seeking God. Jeremiah, courage. Daniel, determination. St. Mary, humbleness. Timothy, leadership. Okay. Do you have any questions? Any comments? Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you because you gathered us around your holy name, and we feel your presence among us as you promised us
if two or three gathered around my name, I'll be among them. We thank you because of your great love, especially to the youth. While many people despise them, but you entrusted them. You entrusted us, the youth, with great responsibilities because you love everybody and you encourage everybody. We thank you because you gave us the fast, the Holy Great Fast, an opportunity to defeat the devil, opportunity to discipline and control our desires, an opportunity to grow in spirituality, opportunity to get closer to you. So we thank you because you give us this blessing, the blessing of fast. We ask you to give us all these qualities, to give us a pure heart, and to give us a strong faith to trust you. We ask you to give us an understanding heart and a wisdom to discern between the good and evil. We ask you to help us to put you before anything else, to be our priority. Help us to seek you first and to seek your kingdom first, as Josiah did. We ask you to cast away the fear from our hearts, as you did with Jeremiah, and to make us courageous witnesses for your holy name. We ask you to give us a determined heart, like Daniel. And when we make a decision or promise you something, we will not deviate or turn aside from it to the right or to the left. We ask you to give us a humble heart, like the heart of our mother Saint Mary, and also to help us to be an example for others in our words, in our behavior, in our faith, in spirit and love. Remember the youth in this church and in every church. Bless them with your heavenly blessings. Those who are gone astray, bring them back to your church. And those who are in your church, confirm them. The fallen raise, and the faithful confirm. Remember the service in this church and every church. Remember our Father the Pope, and all the priests and all the servants. Help us to conduct our life in a way pleasing to your holy name. Forgive our sins and prepare our hearts to celebrate your Pascha and to celebrate the feast of the resurrection, to be raised from our sins and to live with you the eternity while we are here on earth. Accept our prayers through the intercession of Saint Mary and Saint Mark and all the saints who have pleased you since the beginning. Hear us when we pray thankfully. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, for us the kingdom, power and glory forever and ever. And now love of God the Father, the grace of his only begotten Son, our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ, communion with the gift of the Holy Spirit, be with you all. Go in peace, may the peace of the Lord be with you all. Amen.